Community Network from Los Angeles, California, United States of America, presents Dr. Gene Scott.
Saturday night, you run your clocks back, or you won't be on time at the cathedral. Fall back in the fall. It's going to get dark earlier. Daylight saving time ends. A cold, cold winter begins. But it's anniversary weekend, too. That's going to follow that to warm it up. This Sunday is the start of the last week of the last month of the 16th year. But it's preparation for anniversary Sunday. I think the special surprise I had anticipated might happen this weekend is not going to happen, but it will by anniversary Sunday. And no, I won't tell you what it is. Secret six has me concerned. I don't know if it's because I've not placed enough emphasis, haven't done a great deal since the first Sunday. But I believe there are scores and even hundreds of people who have walked by the fountain of faith or seen it on television and said to themselves, I wish I had been here for that challenge. But this one's greater. And like the fountain of faith, it will never happen again. But where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. Contrary-wise, where your heart is, there's where you'll want your treasures. The ability to say, as the years roll on and Jesus tarries, and He will not come this year, nor will He come next year. And nor will He come the following year. I don't know when He will come. I know that at whatever year He does come, it'll be on the Feast of the Trumpets in the fall. But I can tell you, He's not going to appear within the next 3 years. And I'll bet my 3-year budget with anybody that wants to put the money on the table. And when I finish the prophecy teaching, you'll concur. The time is not yet. That means we have more time to occupy till He comes. And there will be people who will look back and say, boy, I wish I had staked my claim on the rewards that will accrue to this activity as we go to the world. 1,134 have at least made a commitment in faith. Tell me somebody out here knows how to run this thermometer. Next week, I'm going to change it to actual cash received. But if you know how to do it, Reggie, get over there quickly and put it up to 1,134. 1,000,134. That's where we are in pledges. We have 166 to go. 166 still to commit 1,000 by anniversary Sunday. Now come Sunday, I'll pull that thermometer back down to actually received. And I'm reminiscent of Secret 1 way back there, when it wasn't until the last week that the victory actualized. So little will count for so much. 1,300,000. I had forgotten. I told you there were items, because in the attempt to try to be honest with you as we quickly feel our way, we signed the contracts for the transmitter at $540,000. The antennas will cost us $225,000. That's bare bone factory production. Nothing else added in. We paid $40,000 for the new generator. $62,000 for an FM transmitter to upgrade 690 to 100,000 effective radiated power off the transmitter until it equals the power now booming out on 1610. An additional $16,000 for parts to tune the AM transmitter. And I'd forgotten. We have also paid will pay in the next 90 days. We will complete the transaction. $160,000 for additional acreage adjoining the property we have in Anguilla that is necessary for the short wave. We had 10 acres. We needed 4 more. And we may even have to add additional property. So when I increased it to 1,000,003, you can see we have no margins available to do the job. My guess is it will cost more than that before we're finished. The generator is sitting in a warehouse in mid-America. The FM transmitter is being retooled in another state in mid-America. The transmitter in yet another state being built for the short wave. So 1,000,003 is absolutely essential. We have 1,134,000. Now, either I'm not saying something right, or there are fewer people with their heart in heavenly things, and time's a wasting. Anniversary Sunday's now days away, and 166 more people need to make the commitment of $1,000. We don't intend to stop here. We intend to expand 1610. We even intend to expand the shortwave. But this is what's on the drawing boards right now. And it's been some time since I have done this, so tonight I'm going to put special emphasis on 1610 AM. across America, I have come into contact with those who are suggesting that they have similar coverage to 1610 AM. I got news for them. You have a station with a call signal in the 1500s downward. You try to hit the United States, you're going to have another station with that same frequency. You're not going to have any station along the eastern seaboard booming out in the 1610 frequency. You'll have some cities like here with a low power emergency broadcast 10-watt unit like Harbor Freeway News that'll interfere. 10 watts. But anywhere in these United States, and those of you listening on shortwave across the world, you should try 1610. And tonight, don't fail me, those of you that are listening in our audience, every single one of you, check 1610. Don't stay there for 3 hours. Doesn't take that long to check it. Most AM radios don't go into the 1600s because there's no assigned frequencies. So hope you have a 1600 and better AM frequency. Or better yet, you bought an AM shortwave combination that gives you all of them. And dial in 1610 and then call me and tell me where you are listening and how good the signal is. I haven't done this for months. I want tonight to find out. I'd like everybody that's watching on shortwave or listening on shortwave to do the same thing. But particularly, even those that are listening on shortwave and will come back to your shortwave frequency, will you dial in 1610 and give me a report anywhere in these United States, anywhere in the world, that you're picking up 1610? We got a card from New Zealand a few weeks back picking up 1610. As we have emphasized the shortwave, I've said less about 1610. I don't intend to tell the world yet what our plans are for 1610. But I'd like, just because there are those that are trying to say they have similar coverage, I'd like the reports on 1610 tonight. I have not done what everyone thought I would do, what was done by a companion broadcaster when they bought a radio station. They took everybody off. Everybody said we would take everyone off of 1610. We didn't. I'm live. At my live time, I come on 1610. We never canceled anybody. We moved one person 30 minutes so we could come on with our lifetime. But we have left the paid broadcasters on 1610. We intend to up the signal of 690 until it is equal to anything on 1610. Shift the broadcasters when that time comes to 1610, or from 1610 to 690, which will give them in the current area of coverage an even better signal. And the 1610 voice will become ours as we do some wonderful things to it. Tonight, I did take everybody off the admin pan. Just took them off. We've had enough months. We've told them. I don't feel this church should subsidize other ministries. We give them free voice as long as they don't badmouth me like some are prone to do. I don't badmouth them. Coexistence, detente, no problem with me. They got a light, let it shine. but not free. So, to all and sundry across America, I'd like to demonstrate our coverage. And I'm quite sure there'll be a few spots that'll be up for sale after tonight from people that thought they could continue to say it's in the mail. And we have discovered that mail from the furthermost parts of the globe can get to Anguilla faster than some have been able to do it, and they may have some spiritual private mail service, but it's not doing their work very good for them, and we decided we didn't want to wait. So I have canceled effective tonight all those that are over 30 days in arrears, which is just good business. We consider that God has given us the most valuable single broadcast property in the world. In terms of its full potential. And I do have this attitude in all that I do. People that don't see it as a privilege to be there probably shouldn't be there. They'll drag us down. So will you help me show the coverage tonight? Get on the telephone, wherever you are, picking up 1610. You can't miss my voice or our music. If they're singing some song with an organ background, I'm holier than thou, it's not us. Go to 1610, check it, and then go back to what you're doing. And you regulars, come on, we got a lot to go for the week. It's Friday night, we're live, let's get the job done. Go and telephone. To those that join us this half hour, we're checking up on 1610's coverage. Colchester, Vermont, switched over to 1610, about half as strong. But he doesn't have an external antenna. Barbados, British West Indies, 1610's coming in beautifully. I wonder if you will increase the power later. I think so. Alachua, Florida. I'm getting 1610 on the car radio, the clock radio, and the stereo. It's coming in very clear. Glendale, I tried 1610, but all I could get was the Harbor Freeway frequency. I told you that. I remember one evening the Harbor Freeway transmitter was down, and we got 1610 loud and clear. I can't wait till you up the power. One never knows, do one. Mule Shoe, Texas. That's Pastor Jess Moody's hometown. I'm getting your program loud and clear on 1610. Sunnyvale. Burlingame traffic controls on 1610 here in Sunnyvale. I told you the smaller frequencies will be there, but you aren't listening to any big station. Austin, Texas. Doc, I'm picking you up on 1610. We have a local airport here broadcasting, but you're coming in over that. Lake Placid, Florida, 1610 coming in my car. Westerville, Ohio, picking you up on 1610. Come on, give me some more. All up and down the East Coast, it ought to boom in. And all over Central America and all over the Caribbean and spotty across the United States with only 100,000 watts coming off the transmitter. Transmitter's 50,000. The antenna ups it to 100,000 effective radiated power as it booms off that 300-foot tower that you see pictured there when we show you the Caribbean beacon. Now, come on. I want to hear from some more of you as I build a map of coverage here tonight. It's Manchester, New Hampshire. We're on our way to Boston with a load of lettuce, listening to 1610 en route. Fairfield, Connecticut, I'm picking up 1610. Rochester, New York, picking up both 1610 and 690, both Caribbean Beacon AM stations. East Ridge, Tennessee, I'm picking you up on 1610. In these few moments, East Ridge, Tennessee, Rochester, New York, Fairfield, Connecticut, Manchester, New Hampshire, Westerville, Ohio, Lake Placid, Florida, Austin, Texas, Muleshoe, Texas. Alachua, Florida, Barbados, British West Indies, Colchester, Vermont, Fairbanks, Alaska, Waveland, Mississippi, Baltimore, Maryland, Sandusky, Ohio, Mountaintop, Pennsylvania, Cayman Islands, West Indies, Newark, New Jersey, New Albany, Mississippi, and Miami, Florida have checked in listening to 1610, which ought to give you some idea of the massive coverage of that marvelous station, the Caribbean Beacon, 1610 AM. Don't stop giving me your reports tonight. But as I've been throughout the week, I'm going to start in a few minutes showing you some scenes from the horse show in Arizona. And I also want to read a little more about Roswell, New Mexico, and the UFOs. The Bible's full of UFOs. Do you believe in UFOs? I absolutely believe in UFOs. It's like parapsychology or extrasensory perception. Knowledgeable people that have studied the subject no longer debate the existence of extrasensory perception or parapsychology. The question is, what, why, and how? Knowledgeable people that have studied the subject no longer doubt the existence of UFOs. Furthermore, those that have paid any close attention to the subject know that we're being fed a crock by the government. The reason I have stood so firmly against government encroachments in religion is because the government has forfeited any right to presume itself to be a moral arbiter of the nation. Jefferson and those who founded this country knew that man's main characteristic was sin. And just because you got in government, you didn't get cleansed and become pure. They therefore developed a system of checks and balances to hold sin in check, in the knowledge that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We have gone through a swing back from the hippie days, and this was one good contribution the hippies made. And no one has ever forfeited the right to be called moral quite as much as the hippies, because they've done a total reversal since they've become yuppies. When they were hippies, they were in love with truth and themselves. They proved the power of sin, because as they've become yuppies, they've lost their adherence to truth, grown stronger in their love affair with themselves. And they're the generation we have to deal with now. Fostered on progressive education, where value is that which works and truth is that which works, the government has become simply dishonest. Watergate was just a little glimpse into its evil. Oh, the self-righteous poundings and beatings on the savings and loans people. They're the scapegoat. Well, the government let them become what they were. And there is no one anywhere in the savings and loan industry that's any more evil than the resolution trust auctioneers that will sell property owned by the taxpayers at the discount that this recent Keating auction just displayed. When pieces of furniture worth $40,000 and $50,000 and $60,000 and $70,000 go for $3,000 and $4,000, and multiplied millions by new operators will be made at the taxpayers' expenses as they auction off the possessed goods of the various savings and loan in the interest of a righteous pursuit of money for the taxpayer. An examination of the administrative expenses and legal fees paid by the Resolution Trust would show a larger percentage of waste than the savings and loans that they are supposedly curing. The government's corrupt. Those self-righteous asses interviewing the Supreme Court nominee and reminding me of deacon boards who love to take confessions from sexual violets in their congregation, reveling in Anita Hill's testimony, getting to say on TV with immunity words that I'm sure gave them thrills they hadn't had in recent years. While all the time hiding behind the hypocritical mask that they were exempt from the sexual harassment laws. And then I read today in the newspaper the uncouth and rude and harsh treatment given the parents of the recently freed hostage because they took a camera in the room to film the family greeting him with his permission. I'm sure the rationale would be it's jeopardizing the other hostages as if those other hostages could be jeopardized. The people who have them are going to be as evil as they can be, conditioned only upon that which they hope to use them for. And I don't know how many of you read the paper of the uncouth treatment and abuse heaped upon the parents. They were barred from the hospital. All I got to say is the U.S. government could wish and be glad that Gene Scott was not the hostage that just got freed into their damned hospital. He was a professor at a university, not an employee of the government. And they tried to tell me I and my parents couldn't take pictures. There'd be blood all over that hospital floor. But you see a perfect illustration of what we've been telling you about the intimidation heaped upon those in and around the Roswell UFO alleged crash site. There are people in government today that believe their own advertisement. More sophisticated, but just as evil as Antiochus Epiphanes. They think that some moral mandate belongs to them, that because they take a government paycheck, they see more clearly and have rights beyond anybody on the face of this earth. Talk about copping an attitude. Now, I hate the government with a passion. It's the enemy of the people, always has been, and this is the only country in the world that put a leash on them before they would allow them to come into existence. But enough generations have come along, we've forgotten our heritage, and all it takes is a uniform to produce some bootlicking. And there has been a cover-up. In the interest of national security, while out of one side of their mouth, they say there's no national security threat from UFOs. Now, where they come from and what they are, I don't know. But there's too much evidence any longer to ignore their existence. And Christians better wake up to the fact that whatever your Christian theological frame is, it better be broad enough to embrace UFOs, or you're going to raise families that are going to grow up in a generation where your Christian faith is going to blow up in your face, just like the flat earth Christians of the Middle Ages had their faith blown up. Now, I'm here to tell you, as we always do, it ain't going to do a thing with Christianity. Doesn't matter at all to me. As I've said for years, Christians get all hot and bothered about evolution. So what? Either God created this earth as a jokester and laid down the paleontological traces to create the impression of a sequential development that can give evidence for the hypothesis of evolution, or some form of evolution has been going on. It wouldn't bother me at all that the whole universe is constructed around a principle of faith that has built into it some kind of forward progress. All I say is God created Adam. Can't be man-like creatures evolve all over this universe. Doesn't do a thing about Adam. Just translate the Bible right. It does not read God created Adam and man became a living soul. It says God created Adam, breathed into him, and Adam became a living soul. God added the dimension of himself to one part of this whole life frame. And that's the most valuable part. That Jesus says concerning it, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You are a fool to get yourself into some kind of frame of reference as though evolution and creationism are polarized in separate parts. They aren't. Evolution can exist, and the Creator can add whatever He wants anytime He wants along the time frame. Now, I know that the missing link occurs because I see them in government all the time, and I've been saying that for 16 years. I used to grant the graduated BM Award from Cushu University. The graduated BM Award was a bureaucratic monkey. And I used to grant it for demonstrating absolute proof in the modern world that the missing link exists and that evolution is a fact. Quit letting your faith get boxed into some mental midget mentality that will cause people to lose their faith in God because it will not confront and survive the reality of truth constantly being discovered and added to in this world. I don't believe the earth's 4,000 years old, 7,000 years old, or anything like that. That's Bishop Usher's idea about genealogy tables. Nobody can figure out dates from genealogy tables. You can only approximate. The earth existed before Genesis 1:2, and it became an earth, a waste and a desolation. And from Genesis 1:2 on, you have recreation. What in the hell was God saying to Adam and Eve, replenish the earth for? Satan was obviously in Eden before he fell. And Jeremiah saw the earth in a past, in fact, I'm coming to that chapter, in a past prophecy, when there was no man, but there were, King James says, cities. The Hebrew is simply meeting places of intelligent beings. I have no trouble with dinosaurs. I sure know they existed. If Satan was around and his cohorts, and this was his stomping ground before he fell, I'm sure he was able to handle them. Scared the piddling out of Adam. God didn't even confront him with such as dinosaurs. So don't get boxed in. And I want Christians to understand, even though we can't give you an explanation of what flying saucers are or where they come from, wouldn't shake my faith if I walked up and saw one tomorrow. Might shake some other things, wouldn't shake my faith. Unidentified flying objects, it's axiomatic, have been reported in such mass and with such credible testimony as distinct from that which is not so credible. Then intelligent people who study the subject know there's an unexplained phenomenon. Furthermore, there has been government cover-up, not only in this country, other countries as well. You ought to read. If you're not convinced, you ought to try to find, above top secret, the worldwide UFO cover-up by Timothy Good. If it doesn't convince you, you are not capable of being convinced of anything. You ought to stay home. You're not sure you exist. And that, by the way, cannot be proven either. You just act on the assumption. So on a program that is committed to the Christian faith, I have no trouble dealing with UFOs. And I'd like to get on the subject again tonight. I am convinced one crashed in Roswell. I'm convinced that it had some bodies on it, too. And when the cover-up is so deep that Barry Goldwater and Gerald Ford and Carter, two presidents and one of the most powerful senators ever to serve, cannot find out what's in that hangar at Wright Field. And the control of the bureaucracy prevents even the President of the United States finding out the cover-up. We got problems. Now, if nothing else, study of UFOs teaches me how true the Bible is in its prophecies of a coming Antichrist. And the way in which the governments can abuse our rights. This is no longer a government of the people, by the people, or for the people. And it hasn't been in a long time. It hasn't been since a band of economic pirates under false names boarded a sealed train and closeted themselves on Jekyll Island and hoodwinked the U.S. Senate and the American people into accepting the Federal Reserve Board, a private institution under the guise of being public. From there on, this ceased to be a government of the people, for the people, and by the people. They throw us bones where it doesn't matter. So UFOs exist, and there is a cover-up. What's being covered up and what UFOs are, I don't know. But I would like to give some more evidence of their existence and the cover-up. And I'm here to tell you, the Bible's full of UFOs. Ezekiel saw one, Elijah was carried away in one. The friendly kind. How do you think the watchers waltzed down mated with the sons of men before the flood and produced horrible creatures and led the world into such a terrible state that God had to destroy it and save one family. I'm sure there are angelic beings, both good and evil, that don't need UFOs to carry them around. I'm sure that in the hierarchy of heavenly beings, we have no concept of the different degrees of supernatural strength, power, and abilities. Neither would my faith be disturbed if there were 10,000 other Earths with 10,000 other life forms evolving or even having been created. So you need, this is a ministry that opens people's minds and doesn't close them. I'd like the time to do a little bit of that if you'd get on the telephone and get the work done. I ask, and welcome to you who joined us this half hour, that particularly New Mexico, I ask for all of those that could pick up 1610 AM, our Caribbean Beacon flagship station, to check out 1610 AM. And here's Manchester, New Hampshire, listening on 1610. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, picking us up in the car radio. Stanford, Connecticut, coming in good. Victoria Harbor, Canada, 1610. Coming in spotty, but they're picking it up. Hartford, Connecticut, 1610 coming in loud and clear. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, in fact, about 60 miles east of Oklahoma City. Thundering and lightning, but they can still pick up 1610 AM. New Britain, Connecticut, listening to 1610 AM. Centerville, Tennessee, I just turned you on my car radio. Sounds great. And I've already mentioned East Ridge, Tennessee, Rochester, New York, picking up both 1610 and our sister station there, 690 AM. Fairfield, Connecticut, Manchester, New Hampshire again, Westerville, Ohio, Lake Placid, Florida, Austin, Texas, Muleshoe, Texas, Alachua, Florida, Barbados, British West Indies, Colchester, Vermont, Fairbanks, Alaska, Waveland, Mississippi, Baltimore, Maryland, Sandusky, Ohio, Mountaintop, Pennsylvania, Cayman Islands, West Indies, Newark, New Jersey, New Albany, Mississippi, Miami, Florida, all in just this past hour have checked in, listening on 1610 AM. So I'd like the rest of you to keep checking it out tonight. There will be a change this weekend to our permanent daylight savings time, nighttime frequency. If you get a camera over there, quickly come over here, John, to camera two. You can stay on me with camera one. And pick up the new frequency, the top. I think that'll be the one. I'll see it when it goes on the screen. Try to pick it up, because 7520 and 7435 will not be our frequencies beginning Saturday night, when daylight saving time ends and regular time returns. Our nighttime schedule from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. weekdays will be... You were fine, John, where you were. Something happened. I don't need the weekdays and weekends. Just get over on the times. Zoom it in. Whoa. Stop. Hold it. Whoa. Don't do anything.
This is the end of side one. Thank you.